privilege to stand before God's people and share the word of God. This morning, I'm going to bring some good news. So, the world is full of bad news. If we look at the news, we see the turmoil. Even close to home, we don't know what's going to happen with Brexit. In America, there's fires, political situations everywhere. Everything seems to be upside down. So it's about time the world had the message, the good news. What does it have to do with the elephant? Okay, there's a story of people who hadn't come across an elephant. So what happened was they were blindfolded and brought to the elephant. So the first one came and it touched the leg of an elephant. And he was asked to describe it. And he said, an elephant is like a tree trunk, because he was holding the leg of the elephant. The next one went and held the ear of an elephant and asked him, what does an elephant look like? He says, it's like a giant leaf. The other one touched the tusk of an elephant and he said it was like a bamboo. So the other person who had it said, well, this must be a bamboo tree with huge leaves. So, why am I saying this? When it comes to the gospel, the good news, what is the good news? People look at it differently. Some will say, oh brother, it's about the blood. Just the blood of Jesus. Some will say, oh, it's all about the cross. Some will say, oh, it's all about salvation. And there are so many things that people say is the good news. But let's see what Jesus said was the good news. When Jesus preached, the good news that he brought was about the kingdom of God. That includes salvation. That includes the cross. That includes prosperity. But it's not all about prosperity. It's about the kingdom of God. So when he preached, the central theme of his message was the kingdom of God. Now, what's the kingdom of God? I was thinking about this and I said, what really is the kingdom of God? Because it gets so confusing. Sometimes Jesus said, well, the kingdom of God is within you. So even in the days of Jesus, the kingdom of God was there. But yet we look for a kingdom of God that is coming. So that's all very confusing, isn't it? So what I learned was the kingdom of God is wherever the will of God is done. In heaven, the will of God is done perfectly, and that is the residence of the kingdom of God. Wherever people accept that message, the lordship of God, the kingdom of God has arrived. So, Jesus was preaching and he said, the kingdom of God is now with you. Because the king was there. So in order to bring the kingdom of God, Jesus had to come down to earth. He lived in heaven with his Father. But when the time came, he had to come down to earth. And he lived as a man amongst us. in order to bring the kingdom of God and to demonstrate the kingdom of God. It was very important to him that he preached in Matthew 6:33, that the first thing, the principal thing, is but seek the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. So that's the first thing. Everything else will be added to you. So that's the principal thing, the kingdom of God. And in Matthew 6:10, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So his desire was to see the kingdom of God established on earth, that the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, the will of God is done perfectly. So if you know my style, you know I like to break down these concepts, and I like to break it down letter by letter. What is the kingdom? So we start with the first letter in the kingdom, which is K. What would it stand for? Let me tell you that there would not be a kingdom without a king. So the first thing about a kingdom is there has to be a king. But the king that came is the king that they did not understand, because he didn't come with all the splendor and all the glory. He came and lived a lowly life. So when he was on the cross, on Matthew 27:29, this is what they did to him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. They knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail the King of Jews, they said. So they mocked him. They didn't understand him. But the disciples, when they were preaching the good news of the kingdom, they said, that same Jesus who you crucified has been made both the Christ and the King. So the same Jesus that they crucified is both the Christ and King. So without Jesus, without his crucifixion and coming back to life, there would be no kingdom of God. But he died and he rose again on the third day. Now he's seated on the right hand of the Father with all power and glory and majesty. Revelation 19:6, we're talking about the king. It says, on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So he is the king. So that's the first aspect of the kingdom. There is a king. His name is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The next aspect, which is K, which is also K, is the keys. Kingdoms have keys. So in Revelation 3:7, it says, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. So he has those keys. He has the final say. The word of the king is final. So he holds the key to everything. Everything that is and everything that will ever be. He is almighty, all-powerful. And again, on these keys, he gives these keys to the faithful. He gives these keys to his saints. We hear about St. Paul, St. Peter. He said to Peter, when Peter confessed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, "A blessing upon you, Peter. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." So kingdoms have keys. What is the other aspect of the kingdom? Kingdoms have an identity, and we have an identity. We are children of the living God. We sang, we are no longer slaves, but we are children of the Most High. So we have to understand and know who we are in Christ. We are a royal, it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. So kingdoms have an identity. We have an identity. We are not ordinary people. It says we are peculiar. We are chosen, a chosen generation. Now, if you don't understand your position in Christ, you will not be able to operate in the kingdom as you should. So we are children of the Most High. Kingdoms have influence. And influence is the power to have an effect on people or things. So kingdoms have an influence. And this influence spreads. At the height of the British Empire, they said the sun doesn't set on the British Empire because the influence was everywhere. So kingdoms have influence. As children of the kingdom, we are supposed to have influence. We are supposed to have power. So it says in Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So the world should not influence you. You should influence the world. We complain about things that are going on in the world. And I know the verse that we quote, we say, "Well, brother, we should be in the world, but not of the world." But the Lord says you should be in the world to influence the world. Not the other way, that the world should influence us. We are part of the kingdom. And it is the will of God for the kingdom to be established on earth. It cannot be established when the world is influencing us. It is us as the children of the living God who should influence the world. And that's the message of the kingdom. In Matthew verse 5, chapter 13 to 16, talking about us, he says, "You are the salt of the earth." But he says, if salt has lost its flavor, it is not good for anything but to be cast out. And it says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light up a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it in the clear for men to see." So that's what we're called to be influencers of this world. We should not lose our flavor that is being influenced by the world. But our flavor should influence the world. So that's I, identity, and influence. The kingdom of God has to spread. And in Daniel it says the kingdom will grow. The kingdom will be given to the saints. And it will have no end. It's an everlasting kingdom. So that's the eye. In the kingdom, what is N? N is what God is doing. Ephesians 2 verse 15 to 16. That is creating a new humanity and for new humanity. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace. He's talking about the breaking down of barriers between the Jews and the Gentiles, because the Gentiles were not included as part of the covenant of God. But when he came through grace, he gave the Gentiles access, that they also might become part of that kingdom. So in Christ, he created one new humanity and tore down the dividing barrier which was there in the beginning. So N again is new humanity. N is for the new covenant, which is Hebrews 9 verse 9 verse 15. It says, for this reason Christ is called the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. So, and for new covenant. We are now in the new covenant. We are covenant people, bought at the price of blood. We are no longer slaves, but we are sons and daughters. N, again, is for nations, because that's what God is doing. He's calling people out of nations. In Revelation 7, verse 9, he says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. These are overcomers, these are the saints, called out of every nation. So this is what God is doing. He's reaching out to nations. He's reaching out to the world. Whilst in the beginning he reached out to Israel only, now through the new covenant he's reaching out to all nations. Where the word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. In the kingdom of God, and is also about your neighbor. It's okay, God loving the rest of the world, but your neighbor, the one next to you, the one you see, the one who is close to you, within your vicinity. In Mark 12, verse 31, these are principles of the kingdom, that you should love your neighbor even as you love yourself. So the kingdom of God is about your neighbor. It's about reaching out to your neighbor and showing them the love of Christ. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay, that's N in the kingdom of God. G, in the kingdom of God, is about the government of God. It says in Isaiah 9, verse 6 to 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. That is talking about Christ. It's talking about him having a government. Now, when I first became a believer, God revealed this to me. As an envelope was sent to me in a dream, and I looked at the envelope, and it was signed, it was written, you know, where the stamp is, it said, paid for by the government. There is a government in heaven. God has a government. And Christ our Lord is the head of that government. And of the increase of his government, there will be no end. So his government will grow and grow and grow. It's inevitable. It'll grow. It is God's word, and it'll grow. G in the kingdom of God is about the grace of God. God rescues sinners and builds them up to holiness. So, he says, he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. So he reaches out to us and rescues us through his grace. So these subjects are those who were once rebellious, but through grace they have been brought into a state of loyalty to the Lord. We are no longer, there is no longer an empty between us and the Lord because of the finished work of the cross. We are now accepted as children. So he did that. That is the work of grace. Now grace allows us to enter into the kingdom of God. But there is something about the kingdom of God as well. Once we enter into the kingdom of God, we have to manifest the glory of God. We have to manifest the glory of God. I'll touch on this a little bit more. It says in Hebrews 1, verse 3, this is talking about Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and his express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So there is a glory to the kingdom of God, and Jesus is that glory. We are supposed to manifest, once we enter the kingdom of God, the glory of God. Because guess what? He gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit transforms us and equips us and gives us power to demonstrate the kingdom of God. The demonstration of the kingdom of God is the glory of God. Because it's the visible sign that God is and that God exists. So there has to be that dimension of his glory that we have to seek as children of God. So that's G. The next one is D. D stands for dominion in the kingdom of God. Now, dominion talks about sovereignty or control over a territory, over a people, or government. So that's dominion, exercising power, influence. And Jesus has the dominion. It says in Psalm 24 verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He has dominion over the earth. It is his. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and they that dwell therein. For he founded it upon the seas and established upon the floods. He did all this. He did it by himself. He created the earth and everything in it. So he has rulership. But what happened is, we know that there has been a rebellion when man fell. But through Christ Jesus, He's given that access that we might come back and be part of that kingdom of God. So the earth was at once, in the beginning, part of his kingdom. But when men fell, they were cut off from the glory of God. So, what's D? D is dominion. D is for deliverance in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, there is deliverance. So deliverance is simply being set free from the bondages. Everything that ties and holds you back, everything that is not of God, God has the power to set you free from those bondages. In fact, Jesus, the first thing that he said when he opened the scroll, that is in Luke 4 verse 17 to 19, he says, unrolling it, that's unrolling the scroll, he found a place where it is written, that's in the book of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight, and to set the oppressed free. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So he took that, Jesus took that as his mission statement. His mission or that. The first thing he opens and reads is about setting captives free. So the kingdom of God is about deliverance. Delivering people and setting them free from all sorts of things. Problems, illnesses, you name it. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Is there anything impossible with the Lord? Yeah, speak to your neighbor. You're too serious. Speak to your neighbor and say, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. So he delivers us from all things, all these things he delivers us from. Now, D again is for discipleship. That's part of kingdom business, to be disciples. So, and a disciple of Christ is one who believes his doctrine, who believes his message. Doctrine there is just his message. Rests upon his sacrifice. Is led by the Spirit of God, who doesn't do their own thing, and imitates Christ's example. So we're called to be disciples, and we're called to make disciples out of many nations. That is kingdom business. That is bread and butter of the kingdom. Go out into the world, making disciples out of many nations. Because I'm going to let you into what God is trying to do here. You know, as I said, earth fell. The world fell. The world has to be recolonized for the kingdom of God. That's the mission. The world has to come under the influence of our God. That his will is done on earth. So we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the end game. That's the end game. For God to be exalted on earth as it, that's what's on his heart. Because only then will there be perfect peace. Because the Prince of Peace will be on the throne. Only there will there be prosperity. Because Jehovah God, the Lord our Provider, will be on the throne exalted. So, we know the kingdoms of this earth are passing away. The book of Daniel says it. They are passing away. and God will establish his kingdom on earth. I know as Christians we look forward to rightly for eternity and spending time with him. But he's also saying, hang on, I want you to do a work here. I want you to reach out. I want you to make disciples out of many nations. I want you to influence this world. That you're the light, the salt of this earth. That this earth begins to manifest the glory of God. That this earth begins to follow the Lord. So make disciples out of every nation. O, what is O for? O is for order. So even in church, it says 1 Corinthians 14:40, everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. So God is a God of order. It says 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not a God of disorder. Some versions, I believe, say God is not an author of confusion. Part of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. So God is a God of order. So all in the kingdom is order. All in the kingdom is obedience. This means to hear, to trust, to submit to God and his word. That's obedience. And our motivation in doing so is his love. If you love me, he says, you'll keep my commandments. So we obey him because we love him. It's not that he's forcing us to obey him. He's not that kind of a master. We come to him freely and we obey him freely. He gave us that gift of free will to be able to choose. That's why there's still unbelievers who do not believe, and he doesn't force them to. But he wants you to obey him freely. So we obey his commandments because we love him. And in John 2 verse 4 to 5 he says, he who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. So all is for obedience in the kingdom of God. Okay, the last part. O, we're now on M, not O. M is for Messiah. And Messiah is a Hebrew word, it means the anointed one, the Christ. Now we know that Jesus was anointed of God to carry out his earthly ministry. And we know how the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came and was upon him and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And he was empowered and anointed to carry out his ministry on earth. So he is our Messiah. Messiah carries like two connotations. So the Messiah, the anointed one, is a priest, a high priest for our salvation. But there is an aspect of him where he is the king. So we find the children of Israel looking forward to the Messiah. And they were saying, the Messiah will come out of Bethlehem, will he come forth, he who is to be ruler of all nations. So the children of Israel were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And they understood the Messiah to be both a high priest and a king. So those are two parts of the Messiah. So we have a Messiah who saves us from our sins, who delivers us. And that Messiah is also our King. So that's the uniqueness of the kingdom of God. And he's also the mediator of the new covenant. M is for majesty. Now, majesty is sovereign power and dignity, a majestic describing majesty. There is beauty in his majesty. There is elegance. There is brilliance. There is perfection. That's what some of the things that describe, even those cannot describe the majesty of our King. So, he's full of majesty. Those that saw him, they say, "Woe unto me," because they recognize their filthiness, because he's holy, he's pure. Amen. Now, it says in Hebrews 8, verse 1. Now, the main point in what he has said is this: we have such a high priest who has taken up his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So, he is our high priest and he has taken up that seat of majesty and power. I'm just going to read Revelations 4. I know I've got the verses 10 to 11, but I want to put it into context. So bear with me. Revelation. I'm going to start at verse 1. Just to see the majesty of our King. And after these things I looked, and behold, the door standing open in heaven. And the voice which I heard was like the trumpet speaking and saying to me, "Come up here, and I'll show you the things which will take place after this." Immediately I was in spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and the one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like jasper and sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 living thrones. And the thrones, on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunders, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, clear like crystal. And in the midst of the throne there was and around the throne there were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in the back. And the first living creature, okay, I'm going to skip the living creature. I'm going to go to 10. And the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by all your will they exist and were created." We see there the splendor of the King, the brilliance of the King, and his majesty. And it's awesome, it's awesome. Clear as Christ. It's an awesome experience. the last but not the least thing of the kingdom is M, which is the mission. This kingdom has a mission, and this is the mission that we are given by the Lord when he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So that's what we are supposed to do, to bring honor and glory to his name. Amen.